The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Have you ever heard the term a crossless gospel? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Today we are finishing up our series called His Unseen Hand, which is based on Dr. Bob Wilkins' autobiography by the same name. Today, we're going to discuss a number of topics, and I think you'll find it quite interesting. Let's go right to that discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus, and I think we're going to try to wrap up this preview, really, of your autobiography, His Unseen Hand. Although there's still a lot about Bob Wilkin that I think if I was a professional interviewer, if I was like Oprah, I could have gotten a lot more details out of you. But we left off in the last episode. In 2006, there was a theological split over whether or not you need to believe in an eternally secure salvation to be saved. I guess unbeknownst to you, other people were still thinking about some claims that St. Hodges had made back in 2001 about how it could be hypothetically possible for someone to be saved apart from knowing about the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
Was it a total surprise to you when this book came out accusing you of a crossless gospel, or did you know this was a problem?
Well, I knew this was somewhat of an issue because when Zane gave this message and then we published it in two different journal articles, it was an issue. And one of our board members wrote a response, and then I wrote a response to his response. So it was clear that not everybody agreed.
There was some disagreement evident.
And coming back to the last show, at the 2006 conference, it was clear that the people who said you don't have to believe that what you get is secure were saying that if you believe in Jesus' deity, death, and resurrection for your sins, then you're born again as long as you believe that you get at least temporary salvation from Jesus.
Okay.
In other words, you may not believe it's secure, but you believe it's started by faith. And if you believe that, they were saying that. So, yeah, I knew that was a big part of it. But in 2008, now they were using pejorative labels like crossless gospel, resurrectionless gospel, even promise-only gospel, it was sometimes called.
Now, did this come out? I mean, that's when Zane Hodges died.
Yeah.
So what was the timing there? Did he live to know about this book
or to respond to it? The book was written by Tom Stiegel, and I believe it came out somewhere around the middle of 2008, but that's a good question. But Zane passed, I believe it was November 23 of 2008, so I'm pretty sure the book came out slightly before Zane passed.
So he wasn't, he didn't get a chance to respond to it.
Well, he did write a few articles in which he called this idea you have to believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, he called it theological legalism. And I think he had one called the Hydra's Other Head or something. So he had just begun writing on this subject when he died, and he wrote one or two articles, which y'all can see at our website. But I might mention the reason why Hodges said that hypothetically someone could be born again without believing in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the 11 apostles or the 11 disciples. They all believed in Jesus. According to John 2:11, they believed in him, whichever grouping there were, and all but Judas believed in Jesus, and they were all born again.
Right.
And yet they did not believe he was going to die. In Matthew 16, around verse 20 to 23, Jesus tells them he's going to go to Jerusalem and be put to death and then rise from the dead. And he said, God forbid it. Peter said, God forbid it, Lord. This will never happen to you.
Yeah. Not only did he not believe it, he rejected the idea
of
Jesus.
And he rebuked Jesus for saying it.
So in these last years of Zane's life, I guess, what was your relationship with him like during those last, from 2006, 2008, those last 2 years?
Well, we had a very warm relationship. He was kind of a father figure for me, kind of like a second father in many ways. We talked on the phone probably once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. For years, we had lunch every month, but then I'd say the last 5 or 10 years, we only had lunch occasionally. Mm-hmm. We even recorded a bunch of audio messages, which became a book called Tough Text.
And you can buy the audio, the Tough Text audio, now at our website, faithalone.org.
But we did that around 2000 or 2001 or two, somewhere in there. And at this point, we were no longer in the same church because he had left Victor Street Bible Chapel. But I still talked to him a lot on the phone, and I would see him in person probably once, twice a month, something like that. And, of course, our two ministries worked together. So, yeah, he was a good friend, and it was a total shock when he died because even though he'd had a massive heart attack 10 years earlier, even though that happened, he was in good health or reasonably good health when he died. He just had, a massive heart attack, and that was it. But he was in good health, and he was 76, I guess. He was born in 32, so I guess he was 76 when he died. Mm. But I had thought he was going to live to be in his 90s. Both his parents lived to the late 80s or early 90s.
Hmm. So when those things happened, you had mentioned before that the conference had gone from 300 and some people, 360 people or something, and it had gone to half, basically, after those controversies.
Right.
And now a lot of ministries, they'd kind of, you know, you'd almost want to fold up and give up with like that type of obstacle. But what happened? How did you pull things together, or, you know, what did you do?
First thing we did is we didn't set our expectation on numbers. Hmm. It was disappointing because every year from about 95 to 2008, our conference leapt in terms of number of people. And now we dropped in half. But one of the things I reminded myself of is we're not in this for numbers or money. Mm-hmm. We're in this to teach the truth.
Yeah.
And regardless of how many people want to hear it, this is our message. And we're going to continue to proclaim the message clearly to those who are interested.
Yeah.
What was interesting is the number of people interested grew. Now, they didn't keep coming to our conference, but the truth is, as I thought about it more, the 160 or so that came the next year, they were the same 160 that were raising their hands saying, I agree with you, the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
What we lost were the people who disagreed with us.
Yeah.
And so, basically, we still had the same number. And since then, we've hit 200 on several of our conferences, and part of the reason I don't think we get bigger is because most of the people involved in our ministry don't come to our conference. Most of the people are listening to our podcast. They're reading our blog. They're reading our magazine.
I mean, I've said before, the only people who can go to a week-long conference are, you're either in ministry or you're retired and you can afford to take your, you know, you're on permanent vacation, so you can go away for a week.
Right.
But like people my age, if you only have a couple of weeks of vacation a year, you're not going to spend, unless you're super dedicated like some of our people are.
Right, we do have some, that's right.
Unless the conference is in Miami Beach or someplace nice, you're not going to want to spend
your
vacation.
Yeah, Sean, you wanted us to go to Honolulu.
I'd love to do a Honolulu conference, you know, for the younger people.
We're going to have our annual conference next year in Fiji.
We've even talked about doing a cruise conference, but,
we
you know,
have.
COVID has kind of messed things up. And also, I don't think you'd ever spend money to do a cruise. So as soon as Bob retires, the next year, we're going to do a cruise conference.
It's going to be a cruise conference to Hawaii. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's see. Now, you wanted to kind of get to the present day. So how about this? What do you see? Things went along, and the magazine grew, and we got into things like podcasting and blogging and which we never envisioned before, and that has almost become our main ministry at this point. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's your plans for the next 5 years?
Well, 5 years from now, I'd be 75, or I'd be turning 75 in May of 2027. And I'm hopeful I'll still be full-time 5 years from now, although you never know what the Lord will do in terms of strength. But my hope would be I would still be full-time, and I'd still be writing, I'd still be speaking, I'd still be editing. Hopefully, I see this ministry expanding in terms of our international outreach, our translation. We need to get our materials into other languages, lots of them.
Yeah.
And I want to not only have our blogs in other languages, I want to have our books in other
absolutely
languages.
Absolutely, get those books out there.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like them available for local printing. Like Amazon will print locally in Australia, or in Germany, or in France.
Yeah.
If we have it available, like a lot of our books people in Australia can just go on and order the book there and pay a local price and local printing and local shipping.
Yeah.
And I'd like that available in German and Spanish, Chinese and French and all kinds of languages. Plus, the other thing is I would like to see us having some sort of a school, if it's not a full-blown school, at least where we're offering, say, 3, 4, 5 key Free Grace courses that would supplement what a person gets in Bible college or seminary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that if they're going to another school or if they've graduated and they need a refresher on these issues, or maybe they're a layperson and they just want courses, we'll have a course on the doctrine of salvation.
Yeah.
We'll have one on eternal rewards.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have one dealing with problem passages.
Yeah.
And we'll have other classes that relate so that people could get the basics of Free Grace theology, but at a deeper level.
Yeah. All right, last question. You are 70 in just a few weeks. Are you happy with where God has brought you or how things have turned out so far?
I am thrilled. I am amazed because the reason I called this book that I'm writing His Unseen Hand is because I look back and I say, God was at work. And every time when things messed up and seemed to be going wrong and I had to leave staff with Campus Crusade for Christ or I lost my pastorate, or I lost my first teaching job at Dallas Bible College, Woodcrest College, or we moved to Oregon and then have to leave there because the climate was just bad and it wasn't working out. Every step of the way when things went wrong, God blessed. When we had the 2006 issue that ended up in a sort of a split, even that worked out. And I've seen the hand of God, and I look at it as God's grace.
Mm.
And the basic meaning of charis, or grace, is favor.
Mm.
And I am so thankful that God has favored me and GES in spite of all the mistakes I've made, in spite of all the failures and false steps. God is blessed, and I'm very thankful.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to take some questions from listeners just like you, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.